Mormonism 101 for Teens is a valuable resource for anyone wanting a simplified view of the Mormon religion from a Christian perspective. Mormonism 101 for Teens is available at the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore in Salt Lake City or mrm.org. Viewpoint on Mormonism, the program that examines the teachings of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints from a biblical perspective. Viewpoint on Mormonism is sponsored by Mormonism Research Ministry. Since 1979, Mormonism Research Ministry has been dedicated to equipping the body of Christ with answers regarding the Christian faith in a manner that expresses gentleness and respect. And now, your host for today's Viewpoint on Mormonism.
Our thanks to Adams Road Band for that musical introduction. Welcome to this edition of Viewpoint on Mormonism. I'm your host, Bill McKeever, founder and director of Mormonism Research Ministry. With me today is Eric Johnson, my colleague at MRM. But we are also very happy to have with us today Sandra Tanner, who's the founder of Utah Lighthouse Ministry in Salt Lake City. She and her husband, Gerald Tanner, have been very influential in, I guess, educating most of us that have studied this topic. I don't think there's anybody who could say they haven't been affected at all by what you and Gerald have done as far as your research. You have published a number of these booklets. Some of them are much thicker, of course, and I was mentioning yesterday, Mormonism, Shadow or Reality, which had a huge effect on my life as I was studying Mormonism back in the 70s. How many books between you and Gerald have been published through Utah Lighthouse?
Well, I'm not really sure, but we've had about 40 titles or more. I haven't spent a lot of time trying to count them up, but yes, we have been very prolific in our little self-publishing ministry over here.
Speaking of the bookstore, a lot of people who come into the bookstore are not necessarily wanting to read books or buy books. They want to talk to you or talk to somebody here. We often use the word, it's safe, because that information is going to not get back to the bishop, and there's a lot of Mormons having a lot of doubts, as you had a lot of doubts. Now, yesterday you were talking about how Gerald was teaching a class here in Salt Lake City, and that's how you met, was through this class. And both of you had a lot of information about Mormonism that I would probably say the average Mormon maybe didn't have or probably was trying to ignore. But you and Gerald are starting to go through this transition period. You're looking more deeply into Mormonism. Wasn't it the book, An Address to All Believers in Christ, that was a big turning point in your lives?
Yes. Book of Mormon Witness, David Whitmer, that Mormons will often cite as saying that even though he left Mormonism, he always believed the Book of Mormon. But they never talk about the rest of his testimony at the end of his life. He not only still believed the Book of Mormon, but he believed Joseph Smith was a fallen prophet. And he put out this little booklet, An Address to All Believers in Christ. And when Gerald was coming over to my grandma's house to share with me his problems with early Mormonism and its truth claims, one of the things he wanted me to read was David Whitmer's pamphlet. This had been very important to Gerald when he first started studying. Herson and the Reorganized Church had given him a copy of that book and challenged him to read it, that it would show him areas of Mormonism that he probably hadn't thought about before. And in Whitmer's pamphlet, he tells that Joseph Smith's beginning of Mormonism in 1830 did not have the concept of priesthood that they have today, that this was something Joseph Smith seemed to have invented later and brought into Mormonism. Whitmer talks about how he changed his doctrinal standings, how Joseph Smith changed his revelations, and they read differently in the first printing and then the second printing. All these things became problematic in evaluating Joseph Smith as a prophet of God. So these claims of Whitmer were so astonishing to Gerald that it made him take a trip to Independence, Missouri, to check out an original printing of Joseph Smith's revelation. In this trip to Missouri, Gerald went to the little breakoff group called the Church of Christ Temple Lot group, and there they showed him the original 1833 Book of Commandments. And then Gerald was able to verify what Whitmer said, that in fact the revelations in their first printing didn't read like the second printing in 1835. And seeing that Joseph Smith himself was rewriting his history, changing his doctrines, changing his revelations, started Gerald on this quest to see what was the real history of Mormonism. Is it really what we thought it was? And so this is what Gerald was showing me and challenging me to read David Whitmer's pamphlet to see how everything in Mormonism had gone through revision. How could this be the work of God and have all these changes? If God spoke these revelations, why would they be edited in coming years? So this threw me into a great quandary on the truth claims of Mormonism. Then Gerald started telling me problems with Brigham Young, because I had told him I was a descendant, and he asked me if I'd ever read any of Brigham Young's sermons, which I hadn't. And he said, well, let me bring you over some. So then he shows me sermons where Brigham Young taught that Adam is our God, which is a whole different concept than they teach today. Brigham Young said the only men that would become gods are those that practice polygamy. Well, the church doesn't teach that today. Brigham Young taught that the Civil War would not free the slave. Well, that didn't work out very good. And then he showed me sermons of Brigham Young's on what they term blood atonement. And these sermons are not about Christ's atonement. This is about personal atonement. That there are certain sins as a Mormon that you could commit that would keep you from going to the highest level of the Mormon heaven. And in order to be forgiven, you would have to have your own blood shed as an atonement for your sins. And when I read these sermons, I thought, this is not the Jesus I read about in the New Testament. This isn't the God of the Bible. I don't see these kind of teachings there. In the New Testament, Jesus is the complete sacrifice. And I was horrified by these sermons on personal blood atonement. So at that point, I told Gerald, okay, I'm open to looking at whatever you have. And we started studying regularly together on all the problem areas of Mormonism. But through this period, we still believed the Book of Mormon and did for about 3 years after we even got married, before we finally set that aside as well.
You're reading a lot of things about Mormonism and Mormon history. What about the Book of Mormon when you came to the point where you finally realized that to be a real follower of Christ, that that's probably not something that you want to believe?
Well, first off, the Book of Mormon helped us give up Mormon doctrine. And so at the beginning of our journey, it really helped us break free from Mormon theology. The Book of Mormon doesn't teach Mormon theology, which, much to the surprise of most Mormons when I challenge them on this, that the Book of Mormon teaches just one God, heaven and hell, no work for the dead, there's no temple marriage in it, no three levels of heaven. So we were giving up Mormon doctrine as we studied the Bible and Book of Mormon, but as we studied them, the more I saw that the Bible had a spiritual power in it that I wasn't seeing in the Book of Mormon, Gerald was becoming more and more troubled by the King James plagiarisms in the Book of Mormon. And so the Book of Mormon more and more started looking like an echo from the Bible, where someone would have had to have known the King James Bible to have written the Book of Mormon. And how could this be so if this is written by Nephites separated hundreds of years from the Jerusalem Christians? How could they be echoing King James phrasing? You couldn't bring this through a translation or a civilization that had been separated for hundreds of years. And so in the what would be equivalent to the Old Testament portion of the Book of Mormon, you have phrases from Paul's writings. Well, how does this happen when Paul hasn't even been born yet? In fact, Jesus hadn't even been born yet. And yet it sounds like you're reading the New Testament. And this more and more started troubling Gerald. So as we studied, we were studying Bible history, and we started to realize there was no historical background for the Book of Mormon story. There aren't any Nephites, there aren't any maps, there's no artifacts, there's no sample of the writing other than what Joseph Smith supplied. There was nothing to show the Book of Mormon story ever actually happened. And we were seeing more and more that, well, yeah, we got a Jerusalem, we got Hebrew, we have Greek. People can trace the journeys of Paul. There are all sorts of tie-ins to the historical claims in the Bible. It doesn't mean we can find every city in the Bible, but we can find enough to establish that it's a historical document. But with the Book of Mormon, there's absolutely zero. I ask Mormons frequently, when they wanted to give me their testimony of the Book of Mormon, I said, well, do you have a map? I have a map in my Bible, and I'd sure like a map for the Book of Mormon. It helped me a lot to understand the story, if I could have a map. And they all say, sometimes they'll tell me, well, there is one. And I say, okay, fine, I would like to see it, because I've never seen an official map. Or they may know there's no official map, and then they want to switch it all to a matter of faith. Well, you just have faith, and you don't need a map. And I said, well, God gave us cities for the Bible, didn't think it would detract from our faith. Why would it be a problem to identify the Book of Mormon lands?
Good point.
And that's the interesting thing, because Latter-day Saints can't even tell you if it's North America, Central America, where exactly, we just don't know. But in 2013, Bill and I had the opportunity to go to Israel with you, and we were actually seeing real places and real people that were identified with those places. And yes, you have to have faith in the events that took place, but it's so much easier, I think, to be a believer in the events of the Bible than anything having to do with the Book of Mormon.
Well, you made a good point earlier, Sandra. No, they haven't found all the places mentioned in the Bible, nor do we expect them to. I mean, this is a long time ago. Many of these places were probably very small to begin with, and we may never find any traces of these. But as you said, we have found enough to show us that the Bible can be looked at as a historical book. It does talk about real places, real people, and there is enough evidence that should give us at least the kind of reasonable faith to trust in those things that, as of this point, we have yet to find. We can never prove the spiritual message of the Bible. That's always individual. But I feel so bad for Mormons, because they have nothing when it comes to the Book of Mormon, except these silly little parallels, you know, between some things they may have found in the New World that might just parallel with the Old World, but that doesn't really prove the Book of Mormon. But I think you raise a good point about that. Tomorrow, I want to talk more about you and Gerald, your journey into ministry. Now, we've seen how you've been asking yourselves a lot of questions. You're starting to see some glaring inconsistencies between the biblical message and even the Book of Mormon and Mormonism, of course. But you're going to eventually get into ministry, and I want to talk a little bit about the beginnings of that, because we all are indebted to what you and Gerald did in those early years. We could have never done the legwork that you and Gerald did in those early years, and we're all benefiting because of that. So tomorrow, we're going to talk a little bit more about your entrance into Christian ministry. We've been talking to Sandra Tanner, the founder of Utah Lighthouse Ministry, and I hope that you'll join us tomorrow as we get into that part of their life.
Thank you for listening. If you would like more information regarding Mormonism Research Ministry, we encourage you to visit our website at www.mrm.org, where you can request our free newsletter, Mormonism Researched. We hope you will join us again as we look at another viewpoint on Mormonism. Are you looking for a book that clearly shows the differences between Mormonism and Christianity? When you're in the downtown Salt Lake City area, you'll want to visit the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore. This is where you'll find a large selection of Christian books on Mormonism, including titles like Mormonism, Shadow or Reality. Open Monday through Friday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturdays from 1 to 5, the Utah Lighthouse Bookstore is located at 1358 West Temple, directly across the street from Smith's Ballpark.